comprehension. His work with programs like George and Martha had led him to understand that relatively simple computer instructions could produce complex and unpredictable machine behavior. It was also true that the programmed machine could exceed the capabilities of the programmer. That was clearly demonstrated in 1963, when Arthur Samuel at IBM programmed a machine to play checkers, and the machine eventually became so good that it beat Samuel himself. Yet all this was done with computers which had no more circuits than the brain of an ant. The human brain far exceeded that complexity, and the programming of the human brain extended over many decades. How could anyone seriously expect to understand it? There was also a philosophical problem, Gödel's theorem, that no system could explain itself, and no machine could understand its own workings. At most, Gerhard believed that a human brain might, after years of work, decipher a frog brain, but a human brain could never decipher itself in the same detail. For that, you would need a superhuman brain. Gerhard thought that someday a computer would be developed that could untangle the billions of cells and hundreds of billions of interconnections in the human brain. Then, at last, man would have the information that he wanted. But man wouldn't have done the work. Another order of intelligence would have done it. And man would not know, of course, how the computer worked. Morris entered the room with a cup of coffee. He sipped it and glanced at Benson through the glass.
"How's he holding up?"
"Okay," Gerhard said.
"Electrode 6, 5, and 5,
Richards intoned. In the next room, Benson failed to react. He sat talking with Ross about the operation and his lingering headache. He was quite calm and apparently unaffected. They repeated the stimulation, still without change in Benson's behavior. Then they went on.
"Electrode 7, 5, and 5,
Richard said. He delivered the shock. Benson sat up abruptly.
"Oh," he said. "That was nice."
"What was?"
Ross said.
"You can do that again if you want to."
"How does it feel?"
"Nice," Benson said.
His whole appearance seemed to change subtly.
"You know," he said after a moment, "you're really a wonderful person, Dr. Ross."
"Thank you," she said.
"Very attractive, too. I don't know if I ever told you before."
"How do you feel now?"
"I'm really very fond of you," Benson said. "I don't know if I told you that before."
"Nice," Gerhard said, watching through the glass. "Very nice."
Morris nodded. "A strong P-terminal. He's clearly turned on." Gerhard made a note of it. Morris sipped his coffee. They waited until Benson settled down. Then, blandly, Richard said,
"Electrode 8, 5 millivolts, 5 seconds.
The stimulation series continued. Chapter 2. At noon, McPherson showed up to supervise interfacing. No one was surprised to see him. In a sense, this was the irrevocable step. Everything